To him was given dominion and glory and kingship that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The designation of this last Sunday of Pentecost season as Christ the King Sunday is relatively new. I say relatively in the span of 2,000 years because it was established in 1925 by Pope Pius XI as a pushback against the political forces of the time, which were Hitler and Mussolini, thereby stressing the prominence of Jesus as the ultimate authority of life. And if we believe that is the truth, that as followers of Jesus, we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve the political powers of this world that would draw us from the love of God. Yet we have been given the God-given freedom to choose who or what we will serve. Each week, each day, we have to make a choice about God's sovereignty in our lives. And we make that choice for ourselves and our families every Sunday. Do we bow to the pressures of the culture? Do we bow to the pressures of the economy? Do we choose to worship sports or shopping? Or do we worship Christ the King? There has been some pushback in recent years about calling Jesus Christ a King. Some would argue that the title is antiquated. And others, looking at the ways that some kings in the past have abused power, say that the title has lost its true meaning. But a king doesn't have to be an oppressive tyrant. A good biblical king served as a shepherd of his people and was concerned for their welfare. As Americans, we are unfamiliar with kings as rulers. Actually, that's why we are here. So we look to other nations for examples of royalty. Some royals today, like Prince William and Prince Harry and their wives, are changing the face of royalty. We see them as moderns, out and about and concerned about serving the less fortunate. And yet the Queen, for me, is another story. Except for a few public appearances each year, do we have any idea what she does at all? What power does she have? Is she effectual in matters that impact people's everyday lives? Does it all boil down to a title born from tradition but without actual effect? And do we see Christ the King in that same way? As a figurehead that has little impact on our day-to-day lives, as someone distant and archaic, an historical figure around whom many outdated traditions are carried out with little consequence or impact on our lives? Or do we see Jesus as someone who is truly alive right now? Someone who wants an ongoing relationship with each of us, not requiring us all to be the same, but cherishing each of us as unique individuals created to love and be loved by him. Beloved followers who desire to serve others in his name, freely offering our gifts that he has given to each and every one of us. Where, when, and to whom do you give your allegiance? How much influence do the values of the world have on your decision to follow and worship Jesus? And what is at stake for you to openly declare to others and to yourself that you belong to Jesus? Well, today, little Addison, with the help of her parents and godparents, will enter into a covenantal relationship with Jesus through the sacrament of holy baptism. They will answer for her, do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? Do you promise to follow and obey him as your Lord? And these same questions were answered for each of us at our baptisms. Jesus Christ is our King. And through our baptism, we are the people of his kingdom, a kingdom that is open to all. All are welcome to be a part of this kingdom. And he has a special interest in those who are on the margins, the outcasts, the oppressed, and the little ones. He is the king of all creation, not just a specific part like the church. And to be part of his kingdom, you must have your own relationship with him. No one can have it for you. It is your responsibility alone to work at it and to value that relationship above all others. As followers, we follow Jesus because we love him. And I hope that you know that he loves each and every one of you with no strings attached, unlike the world's love, which always expects something in return. The world dominates by violence. We heard it this morning in the gospel, the scene with Pilate, who eventually would have him crucified. But we belong to a different kind of king, and we serve a different kind of king, whose power is expressed in love, a king who was crucified by the violent powers of this world that we are to reject. We should be more afraid of being loved by the world, of feeling the need to meet the demands of the world, than by loving Jesus and obeying him and his teachings. Every once in a while, I ask our ministers of music to bear with me as I request a specific hymn for a service. And today, after we receive communion, we will be singing a hymn that's set to the words of George Herbert, who was a poet, a preacher, and a priest in the Church of England in the 1600s. For me, it is a love poem set to music. King of glory, King of peace, I will love thee. And that love may never cease, I will move thee. Thou hast granted my request, thou hast heard me. Thou didst note my working breast, thou hast spared me. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he alone has ultimate power. Jesus is the King who laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus is the King who by his death and resurrection destroyed, for our sake, our ultimate enemy and greatest fear, which is death. Jesus is the King who by his death and resurrection gave us the ultimate gift of eternal life.